Baby. Y'all remember that song? Just aged myself. Let me see if I can get it back on here. There we go. Well, I appreciate that word, brother. I was, just to be honest with you, on the way down here yesterday, it was yesterday, wasn't it? I'm like you. I don't know if I'm going or coming. My mind was in keep your family alive. There seems like there's 4 million idiots on the road trying to get the same place I was going. So I was very focused, you know, because in all actuality, this trip, when I say we hadn't been here, what year, what was that, 21 or 20? Yeah, it was 21, the Cajun Amish picnic that we went to with you guys 5 years ago. It's been a while, you know, because we see y'all posting. We'd be on the farm pouting because, you know, there's too many beings depending on us to be there. So we live in a little small country town now. You know, it's 2-lane roads, you know, and a lot of dirt roads. So that was the first time I've been on an interstate. What was the speed limit? I wasn't doing the speed limit. About 80 miles an hour, you know. Traveling at a high rate of speed and being around traffic, and it made me nervous. And I was like, I used to make this trip in my sleep. I was asleep half the time, you know, so I was kind of scared. That was one night, you know, when Pastor was blessing my family and was paying me to be down here to help coordinate with the relief efforts, because we wasn't in a position to be here otherwise. He was paying me out of his own pocket. That's what rebuilding this community meant to him. And I would come down and work Monday through Friday, and I'd get that check on Friday, and I'd jump in the truck, you know, at 5 o'clock down here, which was 6 o'clock at home, and I would drive 7 hours to get back home. And that was, you know how New Orleans is. That was one night I got stuck there an hour and a half, and I think I'm gonna make up time, so 95, you know, I'm driving, run up on a wreck between Mississippi and Mobile, have to get off the interstate, and boy, now I'm lost. You know, trying to figure out how to get home. And my wife can tell you, she was on the phone with me, and whenever the line would fall silent, she'd scream to wake me up. Because I done drank all the Red Bulls you can drink, all the coffee you can drink. I mean, I was overdosed on caffeine and was still falling asleep. So I used to do that all the time. Now I done got old and a little bit squirrely. Nervous about stuff, you know. I'm thinking about the valuable cargo I got in the vehicle with me. And we prayed and asked Father, said we were getting on the interstate. We said, Lord, we need your hand to go before us. So we made it. And when I got here, I made sure to acknowledge the one who got us here safe and sound. We need to depend on him in every aspect of our life and expect him to show up for us. So I'm grateful. And I know y'all are going to cover us whenever we go peeling out. I got more confidence in y'all's prayers than mine. Sometimes I think the Lord just lets me say stuff so that he can get it out of me. I want to share with you just for a little bit tonight. I'm not going to keep you long. I done seen 17 of you yawn. Yeah. Them cookies ain't coming back. You got to stop. But I know what it feels like to be in your position after breaking a fast, and you get that food back on your belly, and man, it's heavy. And that word that the Lord sent me with last night, it's that heavy. I'm aware of that. It's that heavy with me when he was dealing with me about it. But this is going to be a little bit of a continuation on that, because the Lord don't start anything that he ain't planning to finish. Thank you. So last night, whenever they were doing the praise and worship, you know, Pastor asked me, did you come to minister or be ministered to? And I told him, whatever you want me to do. And he handed me the mic. I went over there. I said, God, what do you want me to say? He gave me the word, just the way that I gave it to you, with what I had been through. So, look, Pastor can tell you, do we speak on a weekly basis, a monthly basis? I speak to Eddie Dugar every morning via text. And the only thing Eddie ever tells me is, good morning, brother. So when the Lord sent me down here with that word, I don't have a clue what that's about, what it's for. And I'm grateful for that, because if I did, it probably would have hindered the delivery. But what we are being expected to do by our Heavenly Father falls nothing short of what He's doing on your behalf.
That's right.
Whenever you realize that Yeshua lived up to the expectations that the Father placed on Him, you know what a burden that was? We read in the Scriptures that from a young age, whenever they went to Jerusalem for one of the set-apart feasts, that their company was traveling for a day before his mother realized he's not here. You know, and if you don't know the context, you'd think, well, what kind of mama is that? But you realize they're going into a holy day to celebrate with family, distant relatives, close relatives. You know, they was kids playing with each other, and all the kids finally circled back around, and guess who wasn't there? And they went back and they found him in the temple. A lot of times we think that because he was the Son of God, that he didn't have to sit and be taught and read and learn. But I can imagine the weight that he felt upon himself as he looked in the pages of God's Word and realized what was going to be required of him. But I want to tell you something. It's no different than the weight that you and I feel when we look in the pages of God's Word and it tells us what's required of us. So if Messiah can look down from his position on that torture stake with what he went through and all that he endured, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Then you and I have to be able to look at people with that same compassion, that same understanding, knowing, first of all, Yeshua didn't need the Father to rescue him from his sin. You and I are in desperate need of the Father to rescue us from our trespasses and sin. And when you read the verses that we read last night, I'm not going to read it again. You heard the message. But when you look at the example on how he taught us how to pray, there is no swerving and skirting what the Father expects you to be to those who have hurt you and wronged you and done things that they shouldn't have done. Brother, that's the reason this assembly has welcomed you back with open arms. Because the expectation that's placed upon us, I'm not meaning this because you are special. But I'm not trying to be disrespectful. You're not special. Because what's being required of this assembly is also required of you.
Right.
To whom much is given, much is required. And you have experienced a grace that is hard to accept. And I'm going to share a little bit about that tonight. Whenever you're the one that's perpetrated the wrong and forgiveness and grace is being extended to you, I've been there. I'm like, I don't deserve it. Y'all stop. I don't deserve it. Right? And you're going back and you're living with that failure. You fell short. And you're thinking about all the ways that you could have done it different. And you've experienced that grace. The reason why the Father allows things like this to happen, was it His will? Absolutely not. Did He know it was going to happen? Of course He did. And praise be to Yah Most High that He had you surrounded with people who could example His love and compassion and mercy and grace and work with you, because your soul is more valuable than you realize. And He loves you so much that He ain't quit on you. So He put you with people that wouldn't quit on you. They're going to stand beside you. Brother, you are going to overcome. What the enemy meant to destroy you, a Father is going to turn it around and work it in your favor. You are going to be a vessel of grace, a vessel of mercy that you're going to show to people. Because what you've been through and what's required out of you, the Father saw that you would do it and He placed it in front of you, and you have passed the test. You are coming out. You hear me? You're coming out. I want y'all to know something. He's not special. That applies to you. It applies to me. I have found my place myself over these last years that we've gone through this. I don't know why. I've questioned God why. Why did we have to be stripped and abandoned, persecuted, bad-mouthed? A lot of it, I was angry. Father, I represent you. They're talking about you. This ain't right. And we made an attempt at one point early on to go and say, well, we can't do anything about what was said, but we can go to people individually and let them know that it's a lie. And the first home that we sat down in, I felt like I was on trial, brother. And we're sitting there, we didn't even get into the conversation. I was like, something's not right. And the Lord said, you don't have to defend yourself. I'll defend you when it's time. And so we've had to live in that. We've had to raise our kids in that. Listen, I can't tell you the number of times that it's crossed our mind to get in the car and drive down here because somebody was going to hug our neck and tell us they love us and minister to us. When we were singing the worship songs in these services, it was like anointing oil being poured over me. The presence of God, the love and that we have felt. Y'all don't know how good you are. Y'all have no idea how awesome you are. That people, Brother Koinonia ain't stopped. The true Koinonia that you guys represent. I came in here last night, ain't seen none of you since 2019. Or if you were on the trip, we saw you in Indiana. Nothing, nothing, nothing but love. Y'all are awesome. Y'all are awesome. Y'all just like, oh, we just us. Well, yeah, well, that's awesome. Y'all don't know the impact that you're having on the kingdom of God by just being you, by being the salt of the earth and the light that you're being. Y'all hadn't been excluded. I know y'all have gone through some persecution down here. You know, I shared last night about the difference in the seasoning in the ministry and the years that Pastor Jesse had. He's led this congregation through this whole transformation ordeal. You better be glad you wasn't in my church, because after I came down here and had a talk with him, I went back with a double barrel. Said, poof, poof. I mean, I just unloaded on everybody. You know what it did? It done the same thing that it done here, except for I done it in a month, and he's had to do it over years. Because I watched, I felt bad, you know, after I handled it the way that I handled it. I still feel bad. I'm not saying that. I was young, right? And I figured if God's telling me this, then God wants everybody else to know it. Here we go. And then everybody left. We had people stand at the door saying, we came here to help you build this ministry and you're trying to destroy it. And I said, well, as far as I know, God didn't send you here, because he ain't told me to ask you no questions on how to run stuff. So, you know, you're free to leave. And what, you know what they were mad about? You know what ultimately, and this is sad, but this is what I did, because I felt like it's what the Father told me to do. When we left that worship conference and he said, you don't know who you're worshiping, we came back and we stopped to worship. We wouldn't tell a lie in church, but we were singing them every morning. And if I don't know who I'm worshiping, you know what I don't want to do is I don't want to be worshiping the wrong one. And so we cut that out and we went to what we felt was necessary. Instead of having, you know, singing and then the word, we just was doing 2 hours in the word. And you know, people couldn't handle that. They wanted their 30 minutes and the entertainment. And if you ain't going to give us that, we're going somewhere else. So I appreciated and I learned from a distance, listening to how Pastor Jesse, over teaching series after teaching series after teaching series, walked the congregation through and gave you guys time to process and gave you guys time to study it out on your own. And I was like, you know what? That's what I should have done. My mistake. You know, that's part of signing on with a young pastor. But God saw all that in me too. And over the last 14 years, He's gave me time. Amen. He's been working on me. And I'm telling you, in the last year, you know, we left 2024, and I said, God, I hope we never have another year like that. In the first couple months of 2025, I was doing like the Israelites, looking back at Egypt. Oh, if I could go back to 2024. It was better there. You know, you got to watch yourself. But looking from this point going forward, there ain't no sense in praying about it. There ain't no sense in complaining about it. You might as well go ahead and get yourself prepared for what lies in front of us and what we must overcome. Because in Revelations it says, to him who overcomes will I give the right to sit with me in my throne. What we must face, you have got to begin to look at yourself as a warrior being trained. You would not, if somebody was just going to sign you up in the military, you think if your son signed up in the military and they brought them into boot camp and basic training, and they were like, oh, he looks good enough, send him on to the front lines. He'll do. How would you feel about that? So the Father is preparing us a little bit at a time, but we're not going back. We're not going back to yesterday when things were easier. We're not going back, you know, when things weren't as stressful. It's going to begin to escalate. And as we are trained and our endurance increases, you know what your reward is? The next test. The next trial. And he thinks so much of you and so much of me that he's putting us through this prior to the battles that we're going to face, so that we are not caught off guard and we're completely aware. You know, I shared a video, which is something I did not want to do. The Father had been dealing with me about it for a number of months. I'm a Gen X, you know, the very tail end of Gen X. I'm still young. They called us the last of the wild children or whatever, you know, where your parents would send you out and tell you don't come back till it's dark. I don't care where you go, what you do, just stay out of my hair. That was my generation. So whenever I come around to things being difficult, I try to face it head on. And that's an important thing for us to do. But this is a generation that's been marked, right? It was Gen X for a reason. I believe that's whenever all of this really started. The targeted destruction of the home. And the home fell apart. Then the church began to fall apart, and the churches are falling apart, and now the world's falling apart. And we have a mandate from the Most High to hold back up the standard. Amen. Regardless of what everybody else is saying, and regardless of what everybody else is doing, and regardless of how many arrows you take, you've got to keep that standard held up. And we've got to carry this thing to the finish line. You can read about it. You know, I could take you to the verses. You know them. In the book of Hebrews, when it's talking about the hall of heroes, you know, the people in the faith. You read through that. I think a lot about the people that are listed there. Man, if you could get a minute of Elijah's time, if you could get a minute of time with Noah, a minute of time with Abel, the first one to suffer for righteousness, if you could just spend some time. And then it says we're surrounded by that cloud of witnesses. Right? No, they're not in heaven like a lot of people preach, you know, cheering us on like we're in an arena. Their testimony, the witness of the decisions that they made and the choices that they made and the convictions that they had, speak yet to our Father from the grave. Amen. And that witness is still being put out. Amen. And we have Paul who said, I don't want to be discontent, but I wished I could be there. And you and I are standing exactly where they long to be, on the precipice of ushering in the return of the Messiah to rule and reign in righteousness in his kingdom. And for some reason or another, don't ask me why, Yah in his sovereignty and in his majesty picked us. This generation of people has faced more attack They have tried to demean men and destroy men in this generation like no other generation. Because if the men will lay down, the women will get run over. And if the men lay down and the women get run over, we've already committed ourselves to sending our children off to public school and having them educated according to Caesar, and we're surprised when they come back and they sound like Romans. So that we are the generation. X marks the spot. This is where it all started. You can see it. I can see it. You know, we've got to begin to prepare for what lies ahead of us. So don't be distracted. You know, Paul made a statement. Y'all, I don't have a problem with Paul. I don't think y'all do either. But there are a lot of people in this movement that want Paul removed. And I wish they would just go back and actually study what Paul said instead of taking what Paul said from the Christians who said that's what he said. That's not that hard. Whenever we begin to get confronted with that, and that's something that I try to do for our group, is to prepare them for mission, outgoing conversations. When you're speaking to, and when I say the world, please forgive me, I'm talking about Christianity. I make no distinction between people in church now. You've got to show me there are people in church who are genuine, they love God, and they're just caught in the deception, no different than I was. But the churches are full of people who think they love God, and they think they're going to make it because nothing's been required of them. And if they find out that something is required of them, it makes them very uncomfortable and they don't want to be a part of that. Don't mess with my bubble, right? I know what I know. I don't care what you know. And those people, they might as well be in the world. They might as well be as lost. At least then they would know they're lost. But instead, they're sitting in congregations and they're being patty caked and, you know, told everything's good and it's going to be all right. So when I'm talking about them, we've got to treat them as if they're the mission field. How many of y'all typically try to avoid conversations with people that you know go to church but they don't believe what you believe? We do. You know why? They're harder to reach than the lost. But we can't lose compassion. We can't lose the sincerity. If we want to do what the Father is sending us to do, the harvest field, as Pastor Jesse said, it's ripe. And guess what? Most of them jokers out there are Christians. So I've taken a hard line stance. So I've taken, you know, a lot of pushback on it. You know, especially whenever you're in a conversation and they say, well, you're a Christian. And I say, absolutely not. And they look at you like, what do you mean you're not? Like I just said, I didn't want to be an American citizen anymore. Have you lost your mind? I said, look, you can take a survey of the United States of America. Guess how many people are going to say they identify as a Christian? Oh, Lord, I used that word, identify. You see what I'm saying? You can make up what you are, and you can tell everybody that's what you are, and everybody's got to, you got to believe it. Don't you buy that. Don't you buy what they're selling in the secular realm. Don't you buy it from no Christian. You tell me, where is your fruit? You will know a tree by its fruit. Where is your fruit? Whenever you start demanding fruit, buddy, it's going to make some folks uncomfortable. How am I supposed to show fruit? Boy, I thought you were saved. You don't know the Bible? Let's go to the Bible. I want you to go with me tonight to Galatians chapter 5. Y'all, can y'all believe I done showed up with zeet zeets on and going to preach to you from Galatians? You know what I like to do? I like to go fight them on their own turf. Right? Take them to their Messiah. Because unfortunately, that's what a lot of people have done, is they've exchanged Paul for Yeshua. Brother, if I get out of line, just kick me. If you don't want to get up, just motion me over there. I'll submit. I'm just saying it like I see it. I don't know what's going on down here in Plaquemines Parish. I figure y'all dealing with some of the same stuff. But I'm raising these points because, number one, I don't want the body of Messiah to be ill-equipped to reach the people who are actually trying to reach the Father. Right? That became the difficult thing for me in talking to people, the most difficult people to reach. The ones who feel like they're already in the way. And you're trying to talk to them about a way that does not line up with their way, and they get very confrontational. Right? Because their trust and their faith is in what they believe, not in who they believe in. So that was a process that I had to go through myself. Did anybody else have to go through that? All right, then we should be able to have compassion. Grace for grace. Right? So, but once you've butted heads enough times with enough people and you've gotten no results, you kind of do like Paul does, and like, you know what? Every town he went to, guess who he went to first? He went to the synagogue. Who you think was assembling in the synagogues? The Jews. And whenever he preached the gospel message of Messiah Yeshua and his resurrection from the dead, and they rejected it, he'd dust his feet off and he'd go take it to the Gentiles. But we can't quit taking it to the church first. There are actual people, just like you and I, that love God, that have been led astray, that have believed false doctrines, that have, replaced honoring Yeshua with worshiping him instead of, or in place of, or as if he deserves the glory that the Most High has, reserved for himself. And so this is a battle we must fight, and it's a battle we should want to fight. And with the Father working us through forgiveness and grace, and us learning how to walk like Yeshua walked. At least for me, and when I began to study Torah, and I began to see how Yeshua walked in Torah, and he fulfilled all of these things perfectly, I was like, okay, well, I need to walk in Torah. And then I got pretty good, like a good Jew would, at doing what's written. And then I began to say, Lord, is this it? Right? Because it's like people say, oh, it's just a list of things to do and things not to do. Well, I can handle that. And then I left again, right? Because we started in error. We went to the end of the book first, got all discombobulated, that big old word. We was all looking at it the wrong way. We go back to Torah, we see the foundation, we see everything clear in the Torah, and then I go back over here to the New Covenant Scriptures, and I'm like, wow. No, this is not it. That's the beginning. That's what Paul was referring to as the milk of the word. You could sit a child down and teach Torah to them, and if you teach it to them, they'll be able to walk in Torah. But what I can't do is teach my children Torah and have them learn Torah and then make that translate to, in their heart, they want to do what is perfect before the Most High. Not just what's written, what is perfect before you. What do you require of me in this situation? I see nothing written. Or what I see written says I can do this, and the Father says, you're not doing that. So we've been given the set-apart spirit. Right? He says that he will come and he will lead you into all truth. He's going to strengthen you, empower you. And I grew up in a Pentecostal church, as I think most of y'all did. And I thought the reason that you got the power was to knock people out. Pick them up. I want to do that again. Boom. Right? And people would leave. All the power of God fell tonight. No, that was Miss May. She fell 3 times. That was Uncle Bob. He couldn't take it. So I've been through all of that, and I began to realize as we were walking through this that the power of God was given to me to live righteously according to what the Father has required. And without that, I was falling short. Well, you can read Paul all you want to. He'll tell you that the law was flawed because the flesh was weak. Now, when the set-apart spirit comes, you don't have that excuse no more. If you fall in subject to the weakness of the flesh, it's because you are choosing actively to do so. And I want to share with you tonight how the Father over the last few months has shown us that this is about a choice. Right? You can be as close to perfect in His requirements and the leading of His set-apart spirit as you determine to be. The bad part about that is, most of the times when that decision needs to be made, we've got somebody in this corner right here screaming at the top of their lungs, "You didn't deserve that." And you know what you do whenever you go to looking for somebody else that's going to come into agreement with it? So you'll go tell the story to somebody else. And you say, "Can you believe that?" "No, I can't believe that. Man, why'd they do that to you? I can't believe they done that to you." "I can't either." Next thing you know, you're talking about them. Yeshua didn't do that. The Father's been dealing with me. He said, "Love covers a multitude of sin." And we claiming to love each other. Pastor Jesse was reading about loving our brother this morning in 1 John. Took the text out right out from under my feet for tonight. I had to shift to something else. Man, I'm junior varsity. I'm not going to preach the same thing the high school boys are preaching. He done took my text. I got to find something else. I honor this man. I acknowledge who he is and what he is and how he's trusted the Father. I've seen him hold the Father to his word. I could tell you stories for I don't know how long. I'm not going to embarrass him that way, of things that I watched him go through when his whole family and this whole community was going through what happened in Hurricane Katrina. And I was floored. And the Father brought me here to witness that so that I can example that to people in my community. Given the opportunity, we've got to be ready. Right? So I was floored, and I appreciate Pastor Jesse. I do, from the bottom of my heart. He didn't lie. He looked at me in that sound booth, and he didn't know me from anybody. And he told me, "I'm going to be there for you. If there's ever anything I can do to be a blessing to you, I will." And when everybody else in my life lied to me, that man kept his word. That's invaluable. That's irreplaceable. That's what the Father expects of every one of us, to be slow to speak, quick to listen, and whenever it leaves your mouth, be obligated to fulfill it before Yah Most High, to not make excuses. So I'm grateful, brother. I think after I preach this message tonight, I will have equaled the number of times I've preached to your congregation. And I never come here wanting to speak. I'm not looking for a pulpit. I came here to sit under this man's teaching, to sit under this man's instruction. That's why I listen to it online. Brother, I still got CDs that I bought from Calvary Family Worship Center where you preached. Look, you've come a long way from them CDs. I ain't heard nothing about Boudreaux and Thibodeau since I've been here. But look, I was captivated, right? It was probably the accent. You know how it is when you get around somebody with an accent? And he has the ability to be funny. I don't know if he's funny with y'all anymore. But back then, you know, he was funny. And I was like, man, I liked his style of ministering. It's not all serious, right? He's mixing it up a little bit, keeping your attention, keeping people engaged. I was like, I could learn from this guy. It's been an honor to learn from this guy. Pastor, I appreciate you. I have people back home all the time. "You talked to Pastor Jesse lately?" "No, I hadn't." "Well, what's wrong with y'all?" I said, "I have to call him and see. I didn't think anything was." You know, he's busy, I'm busy. And every time we talk, it don't matter how long it's been. There's no, I pray it's that way. I never feel a reason to, You know, everything okay on your end, brother? Are you mad at me? Have I done anything? There's never any of that. And I'm grateful for that. I know he's busy. I think I'm busy. You know, he said he slowed down some. I'll have to have a confirming witness from y'all before I believe it. Has he? Your sister said. So he's talking about he slowed down, and I think he's still outdoing me. Right? So I don't know how he keeps it up. But go with me to Galatians chapter 5. I told y'all I wouldn't keep you long. Some of y'all made me swear an oath over there before we got started. As you were slamming back your third cup of coffee. Trying to stay up. Y'all know what's happening. You know what causes that? Who said that? Old age. I'm hearing voices. Cancel that one. Look, just to help you out, I'm on a no sugar, no carb diet, and when I eat, I have nothing changes. I don't have a crash, so I'm good to go. Miss Randy, you got that 6-hour card back there? There we go. Y'all feel like you need to nod off? Go ahead. We'll all shout out, man. All right. Let me see if I can see this without my glasses. I hate trying to look over them things. Y'all didn't tell me my eyes were going to start doing this. Go to the book of Galatians chapter 5. I promise you I'll be brief from this point on. Oh, Lord, help us. Thank y'all for giving us this opportunity. Man, we've been down here before and just wanted to come see y'all, and we get down here and we didn't line it up with none of y'all, and y'all were busy as a one-legged cat in the fight. Boy, y'all was all over the place, and we were like, well, we'll get to see him about 10 minutes tonight, maybe 30 minutes tomorrow. This has been absolutely wonderful. This is what we needed after all of this time. I done seen y'all feels like 6 times already. Ain't had nothing to do but sit around in fellowship and talk about the goodness of Yah, and man, I couldn't ask for more. Amen. It's a blessing. I'm going to start about verse 13, I think. For you were called to freedom, brethren. How many of y'all want to be free? Amen. Last night, step one. Yes. All right? A lot of us have been trying to break free, and we'd get so far, and like a dog on a leash, something would stop you. And you'd get to that spot, and you'd go, boy, I get to this spot every time. I don't know what the problem is, and the Father's helping us. He said, here's the problem. You want to be free? Set them free. You change yourself to that. I can't loose that for you. You've got to release that for yourself. Now, once you make that decision, and once you lay that out before the Father, you're going to be surprised at how the Father can help you after that. It's going to blow you away, including yourself, brother. When you started telling that, I was like, he needs to forgive himself. He needs to forgive himself. Hard to do. It is. Don't quit trying. Get down to business with God. Let it go. If everybody else has put their arms around you and embraced you, it's time for you to hug yourself. You know you're not going to do that stuff no more. Don't beat yourself up about it, right? Let God use what you have been through to help somebody else. You remember when I said last night, when the Father told me, what difference is it to you if I made you a vessel of dishonor? That hurt. Because I wanted to be the honored vessel. I wanted to be the cup set on the shelf over there that everybody come in and say, wow. Instead, I've done some stuff and people come in and go, can't believe that. Right? I'm not talking about crazy stuff. I'm talking about walking away from I knew what I was supposed to be doing stuff. I shared with them just last night. It wasn't even a couple weeks ago. I had made preparations in my heart to drive my truck to our Bible study group, separate from my wife and my kids in the car, go in, get everything started, tell everybody I'm done. Get in my truck and leave and let them figure it out. I told my wife that. My wife just done like a wife would do. I said, I'm serious. I'm telling you, I can't imagine the burden that Pastor Jesse has carried in this congregation. And I'll tell you why. When you're surrounded by family, it's the most difficult thing in this world to speak the way that I spoke last night. And maybe that's why God sent me here. Because I'm not family. Because I'm not connected. I don't know. Maybe that's why He removed me. That it was so important to Him that that message be delivered that He needed to be delivered by somebody who couldn't be tainted. Not that Pastor Jesse is tainted, but because many times when we receive that reproof and correction from Yah, we go, who does he think he is? Don't you remember the time? Don't you remember back when? Who do you think you are? I get that a lot, right? So when your pastor and family members, close family members, and everybody knows everything, and the Lord's telling me to say stuff like I said last night, y'all were much more receptive. And so the enemy starts waging warfare against your mind, like, what are you doing here? You're only a leader if you got people following you, right? You're calling yourself a leader, who's following you? You try to do what the Father tells you to do, ain't nobody paying you no attention. And then the cost that's associated with what you're doing, and then the results that you're not getting, you start thinking, well, my goodness, what am I doing this for? Praise be to Yah. He set me straight before I got to Bible study on Saturday night, because that was the flesh talking, right? And that's what we're battling. That's what we're up against. I could, like Pastor Josh said, when you're in leadership, you don't want people to see weakness. I would rather follow a leader that will show me what's going on in his life so that I can appreciate what he's overcoming than I had follow somebody that's never been through anything in front of me, and I'm supposed to be just believe everything's perfect for you. It's not perfect. You don't know the wounds that's been placed. You don't know the battles that have been overcome. And if you can get behind somebody that's been there, right? If you were at war and you had a private roll out with a clean, crisp uniform, or you had a sergeant over here that's got holes tore all in it where bullets have passed through and it's bloodstained, he says, boys, follow me. And the private stands up and goes, hey, guys, we're going over here. Okay. You decide who you're going to pick.
You got it.
Right? I don't know Pastor Jesse's failings, right? If he's ever shared anything with me, you know, that's between me and him, but I've never heard him dwell on anything negative. And that didn't provide me a lot of companionship when we were traveling from Indiana back down here in a truck for seemed like 275 hours. Right, I'm over there, I'm like, I want to bury my soul and tell him what a terrible person I am and what all I've been through. And man, he's just chipper and happy and God's so good to him. You know, it bothered me. I know the man's had his struggles. Y'all have witnessed him have his struggles. I promise you, I didn't come down here to try to lift you on a pedestal. But sometimes you deserve to be picked up. If y'all get tired of Pastor Jesse Morris down here in Burris, Louisiana, I will come pick him up. Y'all just let me know when you get tired. Take all of you, huh? We need to do that. Pastor and I were just talking. We need to have our congregation come down here. I want them to experience the koinonia that we know. Y'all are awesome. All right, like I said a while ago when I lied that I was going to be brief after this, I better get to this. Y'all didn't come here to hear me talk. Well, she gave me the 6-hour card. I'm not doing that to y'all. Unless I mess around and do that to y'all. Y'all better keep me on track. Hey, feel free to go. Put me back over here on the word. All right, verse 13. You were called to freedom. Say, how far did I make it? One sentence. Y'all, help me out. I thought I'd have read some scripture already. Brother, you shouldn't have done this. You were called to freedom, brethren, only do not allow your freedom to turn into an opportunity for your flesh. Right? But through love, serve one another. I know y'all been through this around here already where people served out of responsibility. It don't take long to wear somebody out that way. All right? I watched what y'all did, and my hat's off to y'all for what y'all did in rebuilding this community and the wear and tear and the miles that it put on each and every one of you. I listened to some of y'all gripe. I encouraged some of y'all's griping. Right? That was dumb of me. I was young and immature. Not that y'all were griping. Y'all understand what I'm saying. You get tired. You grow weary. You're the same group of people that's here week after week when the next busload of dummies show up that you got to try to teach. Right? I remember when Pastor turned some teenagers from college loose on this sheetrock in this building. And then I showed up the next week, and he said, "Brother, can you take a look at this and see what we can do with it?" I thought, "Yeah, we can burn this place down." I was like, "We need a motor grader in here to get the sheetrock mud off so we can start doing something." But I don't know how he done it. He had to let go of the reins and let things happen, and he just let it, like, I remember him walking through and looking at it, and I was thinking, "We need to tear all of this off." And he was like, "It'll be all right, brother." I was like, "I don't think it will be, but I'm going to ride with you since that's what you're saying." Guess what? It turned out all right. You know, most times the things that we think are really important turn out to not be important at all. The effect on the sheetrock mud up there has had no bearing on what y'all's done in this house. And I want you to think about the things that you've been through and things that you let yourself get worked up about. And let's don't do that no more going forward. Let's don't do that no more going forward. You love out of love, serve one another. For in the whole of the law is fulfilled in this one word. In the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. When we reach this level of maturity, I think the Father will be ready to send His Son to pick up His bride. You know that's our responsibility right now, right? We are the bride of Messiah that should be cleansing herself. Going through the process of preparing for the return of the groom. Looking for the return of the groom. You know how they would announce his arrival? Hit it, Brother Chad. And guess what? The groom stood off. And the bride got up and got herself together and went out to meet him. That's what we're doing right now. We're getting ourselves ready for that return. And we're going to do it. We're going to use our dear brother Paul. I'm going to tell you this, and then I'll quit joking, probably. There's two witnesses coming in the last days, right? Been speculation for years who those people are and what they're gonna. I have been praying, and I want you to join with me in prayer, if it's y'all's will, that one of those two witnesses coming back is gonna be Paul, and he's gonna beat the snot out of all these foolish Christians that has twisted his words. How awesome would that be for Paul to be sent back in the flesh and to just not write letters to the churches, put letters on them. I'm praying for that. Y'all, if y'all want to, y'all join me in prayer for that. That's what a mess has been created with this. And when you're trying to reach those people, it can bring out the punching gloves, you know. All right, last joke. Let's get on down to business. Stop it, Elena. Verse 15 says, "But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another." That probably doesn't need to be elaborated on, does it? You need to watch your mouth, right? If you didn't just consecrate your life to the Father, minus your mouth. We gave ourselves unto Him. He is our Master. He is our Lord. The words that we speak should be seasoned with grace. Set a guard at my mouth. You should pray that. Set a guard at my mouth. Somebody made a comment to me today that sometimes my mouth runs off and leaves my brain. I suffer with that same affliction. I'm trying to correct that. I have had honest heart-to-heart talk with my children. Where have I failed you most as a dad? You make a joke out of everything. That's what they told me. That was a hard pill to swallow because I use humor to combat stress. I use humor to ease situations, right? Lighten. If we're about to have a serious conversation, I'm probably going to crack a joke. And they're telling me, you need to stop that. Well, my God, everybody says I'm intimidating already. If I come into this thing serious, you know, what am I going to do? They're going to turn and run off and leave before we can have a conversation. Don't be consumed by each other. Can y'all get a mental picture of that? That whenever you letting those words leave, that you're actually taking a bite out of somebody? That it's eating away at who that person is? And not just in your eyes, but possibly they're receiving the words that you're saying and it's diminishing who they are in His eyes. We've got to be careful to build one another up. I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. I took a walk on the levee today. That's not what that's talking about. Y'all understand that. I didn't for many years. Walk in the Spirit. Okay, how am I supposed to do that? All right, to walk in the Spirit, in the Greek, perpeteo. We got any Greek scholars in here? Elena can't help me with the Greek. She's my Hebrew scholar. So I'll just butcher it on my own. Perpeteo. It means you can behave or live or conduct one's life according to the Spirit. This has been a challenge for me. It's been something that I've had to wrestle with. If my wife is not wanting to follow me, I don't have a right to just demand she submit and follow me. Unless I am pursuing the Father and being led by the Spirit. And if I'm not doing that, I have no reason to expect her to follow me. Right? She can if she chooses. She can decide to do that. That's on her. But if I'm not submitting myself to the set-apart Spirit and seeking that leadership from Him, because let's be honest, why would she trust me? She's been with me long enough to see me make mistakes. Right? If I was batting 1,000, I'd have something to fuss at her about. I'd be lucky if I'm batting 500. You know, and in the major leagues, which we're in, that's still a pretty good batting average. 50-50? So let's be honest, men. You're going to have to pursue the set-apart Spirit for guidance and direction. I'm not talking about just big stuff. I'm talking about everyday stuff. You know, we don't tend to go to Him with the everyday stuff. We can handle that. And then you get in a mess and you go, how did I get here? Well, we have to live according to the Spirit. Conduct one's life according to the Spirit. Is there anybody in here that's made passing grades that can tell me what the Spirit's going to direct you to do? What the Word says. That's right. Don't get it confused that the giving of the set-apart Spirit came at the Feast of Shavuot, which was commemorating the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. Right. He gave you the requirements, and then He gave you the power to meet the requirements all on the same feast. I think there might be a connection. Yes. Amen. I know y'all have made that connection. I've listened. I've heard. But we've got to be able to take it from educational knowledge, schoolroom knowledge. I was never good. That's why my daughter, she's annoying me with all of these books and reading Hebrew and painting the word picture of this and that. You know, I hear Pastor Jesse say it. I don't know how much effort he had to put into that. Yeah, but I tried that and it didn't work. I mean, I said, hey, if I'm going to know this stuff, I need to get in here and know this stuff. And 5 minutes later, I didn't know if I was speaking Chinese, Vietnamese. I mean, you take somebody from South Alabama that can't speak English, that don't know where the syllables are supposed to pop and drop and all of that other stuff, and you give them that language and you like, say that word right there, and you say it and everybody goes, Look, I'm. Can I just be honest? I asked Pastor Jesse what Bible y'all reading. He told me I went and bought me a Bible. I was reading the Bible like I was reading it for the first time. I didn't know who was where doing what. I said, I ain't getting nothing out of this. I don't even know what I'm talking about in here. Did anybody else have that struggle besides me? Sometimes in Bible study, I'll be reading from that Bible, and I'll get to that word, and I'll stop and go. And Elena chimes right in. And I just shake my head like I can't believe that come out of me. So smart. So smart. Don't bite and devour one another. Walk. Set your life on a course. Every single day, you're not leaving it up for grabs. You're not trying to figure it out. You are setting your steps on the course of following after the set-apart Spirit who is going to lead you to walk in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Amen. He will give you the power to do that, and whenever we master the power of walking in the set-apart Spirit, there's going to be a new anointing released, and then we'll begin to see the things that happen in the days of the first church. Right, but we were praying for years for the signs and the wonders and the miracles, and we couldn't walk in the requirements. That's what started this whole adventure for us. You can ask my wife. We began to. It was like, He says, greater things than these shall you do in my name. And I'm like, are we in the right religion? Are we serving the right God? What? We not seeing this. We're not witnessing that. I'm not doing that. What is going on? So I began to question God. God, why did your master, your faultless, sinless master, make that statement and we're not seeing it? Boom. God said, I'll show you why. And He led us right out of all of that. I didn't pray and ask God to show me mysteries that I didn't yet know, you know, and something that I could put on the billboard outside to get people to come to church. I was honestly pursuing God. If that's what we're supposed to be, if that's who you're expecting us to be, if that's what your son said we should be, why are we not that? And He led us to where we are, revealing Himself to us, increasing personal accountability, personal responsibility. And here we are, you know, we getting down to the nitty gritty here. I don't know if y'all know it yet, but letting go of hurt, forgiving the people that have wronged you, healing from those things is going to completely transform who you are. Without letting go of those things, the light of Yah was being hindered and couldn't get through you. When you can let go of those hurts and you can let go of that pain and you finally figured that out. I finally figured it out. Right? This time. Guess what's going to happen? More hurt's coming. Right? But what you don't do is you don't leave it in the garden to grow roots, you know, and take over and spread and multiply. You go ahead and get that thing out. I take it straight to the Father. Father, don't hold it to their account. I'm not going to hold on to it. I'm asking you not hold on to it. Let's let this thing go. When they stand before you, don't let a word be mentioned because I'm covering the debt. Your son told me I could. I'm repeating that prayer to him every time because I want to stand before him with a clean slate. If He's going to cover mine, I'm covering yours. Right? If I'm focusing on covering mine, you uncovered, I'm uncovered, and we ain't utilizing the blood of Messiah. So we've got to learn to walk this out. The flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So when you feel that battle going on, know you're in perfect position to make the right choice. All right? You want to know how you got to make the right choice? The flesh doesn't ask you for your opinion. That's usually the thing that comes up that's imposing itself, pushing you to do something in response. Am I the only one that has conversations with people before the conversations get had? Right. I just go through the whole dialogue of how I'm going to tell them this, and they ain't going to be able to answer that, and I'm going to respond with this, and you know, this is how it's going to go. And I was doing that a few weeks ago. I came under attack, and I had a right to respond, right? If I look at Torah, what transpired was not respecting my authority, and it was undermining my authority. I have a right to address that issue, right? So the whole day after letting them know, hey, we got to have a talk. You get your family together. I'm going to get my family together. We've got to sit down and get this cleaned up. And that whole day, I was laying out my argument, brother, like I was the district attorney. This is going to get said. And depending on what they say to that, this might get said. And depending on how that goes, I may have to drop the hammer on somebody. We're going to get this straight. I want them to know I'm in the right. Come on. And I'm going down the road just a couple of hours before it happened. I went to run an errand and I said, Lord, you know what I want above anything is I want me to say tonight what you want me to say. My pound of flesh, if I get it, I ain't going to be satisfied with it. It ain't going to quench that desire that I have in there to try to rectify this wrong and make it right. And I could do damage to some of your people. And you love those people. I love those people. I don't even, you know, I'm not really connected to them in that way. But hey, I acknowledge that your son paid for them just like he paid for me. God, let my words be right. And we got on that conversation and I was able to state the case with a good heart. And after it was all over with, the man responded to me the next day. He said, brother, I could not have handled that situation with the grace that you handled that situation with. And I said, my father's proud. I followed the Spirit. Right? Guess who was in the back seat of my truck screaming and hollering at me? Boy, you should have hit him with this. You should have said that. And you just have to go, be quiet. You're not in control of me. Right? I don't have to. That's what it means. It was for freedom that he set you free. Guess who was holding you captive? You were. When you submitted yourself to your fleshly and earthly desires, whenever that desire rose up and you were captivated by it, you were led by it, you had to do it. You had to say it. You had to go with it. That's what he's come to set you free from. He ain't setting you free from the instructions. You wouldn't have known. Like Pastor Jesse said this morning, it all started when they said, don't eat from this tree. I could just see this one. That one, this fruit right here. Don't eat that one. What? It's like that's the flesh. That's the children. That's what it is. But now, the Father has brought it around for us, and he says, I don't want you to eat that one. And I go, man, he's trying to keep me from something. He's looking out for my benefit. I ain't even going to get close to that thing. I don't want that fruit to fall on me. There's a whole different perspective that we have with the set-apart spirit under this new covenant if you've received the set-apart spirit. You should desire that thing. That gift. Let it be a part of your life. If you are led, I did finish that verse, didn't I? These two are in opposition to one another so that you may not do the things that you please. I could take you to the book of Romans. Y'all know that verse? I ain't going to do it because I said I wasn't going to keep y'all long and I got to hurry this up. You remember how Paul said that I want to do, I don't do the thing I don't want to do. That's what I end up doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of sin? Yes, you are. He said, I thank my God through my Lord Messiah Yeshua that he has set me free. What a freedom it is to have sin knocking at your door and you go, I'm not interested. I'm not breaking fellowship with my Messiah and my master. You take that stuff on down the road and sell it to somebody that wants it. I don't care. Right? That's what he says. It was for freedom that he set you free. You are no longer a servant that has to obey every whim and desire that the flesh raises up in front of you that's causing you to walk contrary to what the Spirit's trying to get you to do. All you got to do, brother, make a choice. All you got to do, sisters, make the choice. I told Pastor Chad, I was talking to him about fasting, and I said, you know, the hardest part of a fast is the first day, because you have to remind your flesh that you were serious about what you said. Because, you know, you skip breakfast and about lunchtime, the old flesh is going, you got to be kidding me. You ain't going to eat all day? You know, part of the day is over with. You can go ahead and say you fasted today. In this part, just go on and get you a sandwich. Not a ham sandwich. But just get you a sandwich. And you just tell yourself, no. Listen, I encourage you. I encourage you. I encourage you to the highest level. I encourage you to don't fast one day a year. It's good that we're doing that, right? Because we're instructed to do it on Yom HaKippurim. But don't let that be the only day you do that. There is such a benefit. I'm going to go as far as to say this. If you can't tell yourself no to food for a few days, you can't say yes to what we're fixing to require right here in Galatians. And so if you want to empower yourself to set yourself down, right? If you want to give the Spirit some strength and weaken the flesh, what'd you say that word was in the Hebrew for fast? See? Tsum. I don't know what that means. Keep your mouth shut. Oh, we can do that in more than one way. We should do that in more than one way. She was sharing that in our Bible study today, the difference between anah and soon. Soon. Did I say it wrong? That's all right. I'm used to being corrected. It don't bother me at all. They call me the butcher when it comes to Hebrew. I slice it in all the wrong places. I listen to pastors say some of that stuff sometime. I'm like, did he say that right? He said that with such confidence. Brother, I don't know. You could be butchering it as bad as I butchered. I wouldn't know. I'm just trusting y'all. You know, my daughter's correcting me. I'm just like, yeah, that's probably right, because that ain't what I thought it was. But, you know, so I make a joke out of this all the time, but the Hebrew's not a joke. Right, it's just something that I really struggle with, but I'm not going to let that struggle keep me from looking into it. Now, when I look into it, I might not be able to tell you how to pronounce it. But I'm going to tell you what the difference is in the meaning and what we need to be looking at. The flesh sets its desire against the Spirit against the flesh. They're in opposition to each other, that you don't do the things that you want to do. But, everybody say that with me. But. That's a big old word right there. It ain't but three letters, but it's holding a magnitude of significance. But if you are led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. I hope y'all understand that pretty easy, right? If I'm being led of the Spirit, the law can be there. I don't have to know it. I'm underneath His tutelage. I'm underneath His guidance. Before the Spirit came, I set up underneath the law, you know, well, I should have been, right? We weren't raised that way. But before Messiah came, they set up underneath the law in order to know what to do. When the set-apart Spirit came and was given to those who believe, they began to follow the leading of the set-apart Spirit. And in some ways, you know, there are things that Father wants to lead you into that go beyond what's written. Right? Whenever Yeshua, it was expounding on that as we've you know, kind of rehearsed the last couple of days. If you have hatred in your heart towards your brother, it's murder. That's a little bit further down the road. That's where He wants you to go. He wants you to follow Him a little bit further. It can cut out all the noise and all the problems. You know, I've not even, Brother Preston, after coming to the knowledge of living by Torah, I don't always go back and say, okay, what's the Torah say about this? First, I go to prayer. And I say, Father, What do you have to say about this? And if I start searching the scriptures and I find it, I thank him for it. If the set apart spirit leads me to the truth without having to go back and look at that, I thank him for it. That's what he's here for. And if you're doing your job, just, you know, you're putting the ingredients in the pot, right? That's what we do. We read the word, we study the word. You're putting the ingredients in, the set apart spirit can just bring that stuff right to your remembrance and right back out to you. And that's what he's been given to us to do. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, and the deeds of the flesh are evident. I hope you do not recognize any of these as being something that you're a part of. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities. We're getting a little closer to home now with stuff that we're comfortable with. Right? The first stuff we try to miss out on clean, but enmity, strife, and jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, and factions. Envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Y'all see, that's a definitive statement there. He's leaving you no room to wiggle, Pastor Charlotte, right? He says, if you're doing this kind of stuff, practice them. Y'all know the difference between practicing and not practicing, right? Like, if you're caught in an offense, if the enemy sets a snare for you and you fall into that, that's not practice. You got caught in a trap. But if you go back the next day and you look at that trap and then you step on it the second time, and you go back again and you step in it the third time, you know what you're doing now? You're practicing. Maybe you're not going back and stepping in the trap, but you're going to go back to the scene of the crime and see if the trap's there, and you get caught in another snare. What should you be doing with wickedness and evil and ungodliness? You should run from it. Don't investigate it. Y'all remember what happened with Brother Jimmy Swaggart? I was a kid when that happened. I remember my dad being devastated. Because he was really my dad's pastor before we'd go to church. He turned Jimmy Swaggart on every Sunday and he'd sit there and listen and cry and pray. And then he got close to the pornography industry trying to... I don't know what he was trying to do. I don't really remember that. I was a kid. Expose it, you know, whatever it was. And guess what happened when you start sneaking around the trap? Mm-hmm. Somebody sets a trap. He slipped up. Praise be to Yah. He owned it. Mm-hmm. He came out and repented. Exposed himself. That's what a true believer should do. We should just come to the light. Right? But where's the enemy's power at? In the dark. You're lurking in the shadows. It's not good. You know, it's the scripture, this is an uncomfortable thing for people to do, but it says confess your sins one to another. You know, if you have love in the house, the true love that the body of believers is supposed to have, then people should be able to feel free to say, hey man, I messed up. I need you to pray with me. And not be afraid of judgment. I know ain't nobody in here that's ever messed up before. Right? What are you afraid of being judged about? By who? By what right? We've all sinned and fell short. Don't be fooled. The enemy's still at work trying to bring division and discord and break the bond of unity and brotherhood. You can shrink a group down, and it wouldn't matter if there was three people in it. The devil's still going to have something going on in that group to try to tear it apart. You don't believe me? Just look at the marriage. That's only two people involved in that. The enemy's constantly at work in the marriage to bring discord and not have unity. Because if one can put 1,000 to flight, right? So what do we do? When the biting words are heard, bring it to the light. Don't entertain it. Stop them right where they're at. Let's have a talk. Get them on the phone. Let's go to their house, whatever you got to do. Because preserving what the Father is getting ready to do in the body of Messiah is of utmost importance. Utmost importance. All of us, you know, we're in on the front end of this deal. I was talking to somebody and they were talking about getting in on the front end of deals. And I thought, man, I want in on something like that. You know, where you buy low and sell high. You're being presented with an opportunity to get on the last day's team before the last day's arrival. And the reward is beyond anything that you can imagine. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it's not even entered into the heart of man, the things that Yah has prepared for those that love Him. Do you love Him tonight?
Yes.
Then these things should be simple to do if we're doing it as a living sacrifice unto Him. So you got all the stuff that you're not supposed to be doing. Let's look real quick. The fruit of the Spirit is love. How many of y'all know the kind of love that He's talking about? Do we need to go read 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Love is patient, love is kind, long-suffering, gentle. Y'all know all of the... I'm talking about the real love, not the, ooh, I love you. Y'all been through that, right, when you were newlyweds? And then the newly wears off, and the weds start getting strained. I'm looking into the eyes of some seasoned veterans right there. They've been through it. You know what love is? That. The love is they still together. I guarantee you she's wanted to toss him in the canal a few times. And I guarantee you he's had her on the shrimp boat a few times and said, if I kick her off right here, who would know it? Maybe I'd catch her up in the net. Look at you. You made it. You know, you didn't quit. That's what love is. And when we have this love for one another, bumps in the road, fallings, faults, failures, shortcomings, you've got to wrap your arms around each other, pick each other up, and don't give the enemy a spot. And whenever we get a hold of this and we implement this, the enemy's kingdom is going to take damage. That's what we're trying to do. Love and joy. I suffer from an absence of joy. This is something that I'm having to work on, make a decision to do. I'm just being honest with you. Like, I don't have hobbies. My hobby is to work. Right? I used to go to work and dream about doing what I wanted to do after work. Now I go to work and think about the work that I got to do on the second shift at the farm. And then you get done with that and they're like, hey, we ought to go do something fun. And I was like, you know what sounds fun to me? Let's take a nap. I'm tired. So I guess I told another story. There is some joy in life. It's on Shabbat when I get my Shabbat nap. Man, I look forward to it. Joy. I'm working on it, guys. You know why? Because joy is a decision. In the midst of a great trial, I walked outside and all I wanted to do was complain. You know what complaining is? It's voicing your frustration with the one who, had he wanted it to be different, it would have been different. Right? So it's kind of doesn't make sense. Right, so I go outside and I look up at him and I'm about to see it. And I thought, don't you be an Israelite. Don't you complain against Yah that brought you out to this. Yes. He knows where you're at. And I just sit there and bit my tongue. I was like, all right, what I need right now is a nap. I did. It was about 3 a.m. I definitely needed a nap. I said, what I need right now is the presence of Yah to come over me like the oil that flows down the beard of Aharon. I need that soothing comfort to come upon me. And I said, God, how do I get there? And He said, I am your master, the creator of heaven and earth. You come before me with thanksgiving. You come into my courts with praise, like I said. I wasn't just writing poetry through somebody. If you want to approach me, you better pull yourself together and look at the grand scheme of things on what I've brought you out of and brought you into, and you get your attitude right before you open your mouth, and I'm coming. So I sit there and bit my tongue. And I looked at the stars that he had made and the moon that he had created and hung. And I thought about how he knew my days before my days. And how he saw this day coming and how frustrated that I was. And that he was going to speak that word to me and that it was going to comfort me in a way that I could not imagine. And when I opened my mouth, I had nothing but praise. Nothing but thanksgiving. I began to thank him for the trial. Thank you for the punch. Thank you for the kick. Thank you for the push. God, if I had just known that was going to lead me to you right here, right now, I'd have taken it again. I'll do it again. And all it was a decision. And you know what? Somebody that struggles with joy. Right? I'm old. Don't ask them. Overall, I seem to be, I think I'm a pretty happy guy. Don't ask them. It's tough. It's tough raising a family, running a business, pastoring a congregation, throwing money out in the pasture at the farm. You know, and I look at God and I ask God, God, did I get myself into this? Can I get myself out, or is this, or you got me here? Right, and I'm not getting an answer, so I look at where I'm at, and I say, I couldn't have done this by myself. He's got to be involved. So I got to calm down, right? You can't get yourself out before he gets you through. Amen. You got to hang in there. And so I'm just hanging in. We're trying to get it, and everybody's like, how y'all doing? Oh, we're good. Uh-huh. Zip it up. You know, don't nobody... never mind, I ain't getting into that. Don't nobody want to know your problems, really. I don't know why we ask each other how you doing. If ever anybody ever takes a deep breath and they go start to go into a dialogue, you going, oh, dear God. Who is this? I won't ask that question no more. We've all been there. Peace. Not just calm. Peace that passes understanding, where there's harmony, tranquility, ease, right? You know what the absence of peace is? Chaos, turmoil. Whenever we say Shabbat Shalom, peace, rest, at ease with what Yah's doing. No, regardless of what it looks like, you're comfortable because Yah's in control. Amen. Even if you're uncomfortable in what's going on, you're resting in His hands and know that He is able to keep you in this storm. That kind of peace. And it's a decision. Every one of these that I'm sharing with you is a conscious choice. Sometimes you've got to talk yourself off the ledge. Bring yourself back and center yourself on Messiah. Thank Him for being the access point to our Father. Go before the Father and say, I'm here because I'm choosing to do what's right, and I need your set-apart spirit to come along beside me and help me and strengthen me in order to do this. He will not fail you if you do that. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I could get into the differences in all of these things, but I've not seen too many yawns. Self-control. Against such there is no law. Now that self-control, y'all can yawn all you want to. I got to hit this right here right quick. This goes back to the fasting. You know in one of the Gospels, the disciples of John the Baptist and some of the Pharisees came and they said, hey, why don't your disciples fast? Why aren't your disciples fasting? And he said, shall the attendants of the bridegroom, should they mourn and afflict themselves and fast while the bridegroom's present? He said, but I'm going to leave and there's coming a time where they will fast. All right, fasting has never been a part of my life spiritually. I've done it occasionally, like less than a handful of times over 17 years. And I wondered why I had such a difficult time controlling myself. You want to actively take part. Again, this is a choice. And this is, boy, I'm starting to meddle. I can see it now. Some knees are starting to shake. Jake's got his leg bouncing. I don't know if that's nervousness or tiredness. You start meddling with people's food, I tell you, you know what got me run off from my last church? They was preaching against drinking and smoking and chewing tobacco, and that's fine if you want to do that. But I got up there and started preaching against the all-you-can-eat buffet and boxes of Twinkies and Ho-Hos. Them 400-pounders got upset. I said, hey, self-control, self-control, all the way around. You mad at the alcoholic because he's running to the six-pack instead of running to the Father. You mad at, you know, the drug addict because he's running to the drugs instead of running to the Father. But you can't wait for me to shut up so you can run to the buffet and get your money's worth. That's all I ever hear him say. I'm going to get my money's worth. Got me run off. Can y'all believe it? It was all amens and yes sirs when it was preaching against the alcohol and the marijuana and the cigarettes and all of that. Got to messing around with somebody's idol. You can put this down and elevate yourself. Right, what you did today, that's absolutely good. That was a reason you did it, right? It wasn't an option. We were commanded to do it. All right, next week, if you decide to not eat one day and it's your choice, just see what kind of battle that is. When it ain't going to be a sin for you to not follow through, and your belly is going, you ain't ate since last night. What are you doing? You know we're malnourished and starving over here. Go get yourself some crackers. You say, no. Because if you can't say no to your stomach, you can't say no to your flesh when you're ready to knock the snot out of somebody. If you can't say no to your stomach, you can't say no to your mouth when it's ready to run off and get in front of you before you had time to think about it. Beyond exercising that level of self-control and putting your flesh in the position that it needs to be in, your Father designed your body to heal itself if you would fast. They ain't going to tell you this in the medical field today. They're not interested in you being healed. They're interested in you being medicated. But if you will take some time from a health standpoint, not just a spiritual standpoint, but from a health standpoint, look into what your body begins to do when you go without food for 24 hours. Then if you push that to 48 hours, then if you push that to 72 hours, and then if you go on to a five-day fast, look what God designed your body to do. And if you're in need of healing, work with God and with His design and get your healing. But what many people want is a miracle. Because getting that miracle is a lot like getting your prescription when you go to the pharmacist. I don't want to change my diet. Can you give me a pill to swallow? God, would you do it? Because I'm not interested in disciplining myself in order to get it. I just need you to hand it to me. And so when we begin to work with Yah in that capacity, if He designed your body to do that, if you would refrain from putting anything into it, and it can start this whole cleanup process, this healing process. Do you know once you go past 72 hours, your intestinal wall releases new stem cells, undesignated stem cells? Like it's the multi-purpose stem cell. So whatever's ailing you in your body, if it's an elbow, a knee, organ damage, whatever it is, your body sends them stem cells out. They go and attach themselves to that place and they take on the genetic makeup of that material and create it anew. Now, if you can't praise Yah for that, that you don't need pharmakia, that you don't need doctor's offices. I mean, if you get in a car wreck and you bust it all up and you need to be stitched up and put back together, that's one thing. But if you can discipline yourself and say, Father, that's what I began to do. I said, Father, I'm setting out on this three-day fast. I have a family. I have neglected my health. I have made poor decisions. We're about to go through the most difficult time on the face of this earth, and I don't want to leave them without a leader.
I am going to come into agreement with your design of creation, and I'm going to, what did you say it was? Soon. Did I say that right that time? Soon. I'm going to shut my mouth. I'm not going to partake of any food. And I'm asking you to help my body do what you designed it to do so that I can walk in your healing. Now, there was no reason for the disciples to be fasting when Yeshua was there, because where would their healing come from? Be healed. But now that he's gone, there's a reason to fast. So I encourage you, from a health standpoint, I want to see y'all walk into the kingdom, the most healthy set of believers we've ever laid eyes on. I've been praying for Pastor Jesse. I know the battle that he's faced, the struggles that he's had. I've just been praying. I said, God, you know what you need to do. We had a conversation. He said, I'm putting it in God's hands. Right? That's a good spot to be in. I know we were praying for a sister. I didn't know Sister T. He was explaining to me, you know, but we get prayer requests. We're in a group. I'm not sure who all's in the group, but we get the prayer requests, and we've been praying. Not all of us are going to make it, y'all. We got a lifetime of damage that we've done, right? Some of it knowingly and willfully, and then the rest of it is we're being sabotaged by Big Pharma. And I don't mean Pharama. I mean big Pharama. Hormones in the meat, antibiotics in the meat. Whether or not we're actually getting meat anymore, who knows? Who would have ever thought we could get this far? So I encourage you on the self-control aspect, which is the last thing we're going to talk about. If he says, if you practice these things, there is no law. You know, I can't remember the saying my daddy used to say. He said something about cutting it off at the pass. Y'all know what that saying was? You got to get ahead of it and cut it off at the pass. I don't know what that meant. But he used to say that all the time. What he was saying was you got to get out in front. Don't let it get bad. Get up and get ahead of it so that you can keep a handle on it. And that's what we need to be doing in our walk with the set apart spirit, because he says if you have these things, now those who belong to Messiah Yeshua, listen to this, have crucified the flesh. They have. Have you? You should be. Right? He's talking about it. He's being positive. He's saying, you done it. Some of the times, it ain't that positive. But he's saying, those who belong to Messiah Yeshua, they have. They've crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, and if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by that Spirit. Put it into practice. Let us not then become boastful, challenging one another, or envying one another. I want to encourage you tonight. This is just, I know this is basics, right? Pastor Jesse's gifted. I listen to him. I don't know his notes, how he can turn a 5-part series into 2 months, you know, and the depth of information that he receives as he's reading the scripture. My brain doesn't process that way. But I may not have school or what do they call it, book learning. But I can look at something and see how that's supposed to be working. And I can look at the scripture and see how, I feel like my gifting in the body of Messiah is to help us understand the mechanics of what we should be doing. Amen. And we need people like Pastor who can teach you the X's and the O's and the 1, 2s, 3s all the way up, you know, to X, Y, Z. But we've also need people in the body of Messiah that goes, let me show you how to do that. And we've all got to come together in the body of Messiah. Because I don't, as far away as we are, y'all might be the foot, y'all down here in the boot. And we might be the wrist up there, you know. But we're still part of the same body. We so enjoy being here. Man, we wish we could be here at least once a month. We really do. That's not a lie. We miss you guys. And it has been such a joy to be here the last couple of days, and look forward again to it tomorrow.
and then we get to hang out Sunday and, you know, help y'all set up tents. I'm going to make a mess out of it for you. I ain't got to sleep in it. Who put this up like this? It'll be me. I love you guys. I hope you've been encouraged by this. I hope you can see it's pretty easy. Right? Let's don't make it complicated if it's easy. Make the choice. Right? I encouraged our group. I said, you write out every single one of these evidences. This is the proof that you are who you say you are if you're responding in every situation. Y'all notice it says fruit. How many? Singular, not fruits of the Spirit. Because for years I was like, well, I can handle that long suffering right there today. I'll do that one. It ain't one. If you've got what it takes to do one, you've got what it takes to do every one. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It is the evidence. Whenever they're looking at your life to find you guilty or innocent of being a follower of Yeshua, you better have this fruit. That's how important this stuff is. Amen. When we walk before Yah, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. And that means I made good decisions, right? Amen. When I begin to practice this is what I was telling y'all about last night. I was practicing this and I thought, man, this is starting to feel like works. You know, like, because I want to blow up right here and I'm not going to blow up. And I'm just, because that's what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to have the right response. Don't feel good. It's not what I want to do. And I do it. And then the next day, the situation would present itself and I would make the decision. We're driving in traffic. Somebody cuts me off. I slam on the brakes and I said, God bless them. God bless them. I was like, Lord, I don't know. Maybe they got a phone call and somebody's in a mess. If somebody's in a mess, help them get out of that mess. It's all right that I just got stuck at this red light. It'll be okay. Simple, simple things. And I began to think, this is so ridiculous. And the Father woke me up that night. And he said, I want you to know, I accept your worship. Man, you talking about wanting to come out of my bed and shout. I was looking at it as an act of worship. I don't know why I hadn't looked at it as an act of worship, because it's obedience. It's prostrating yourself before the Master that says, do this. Don't do that. And I said, okay, Lord, and I'm going to make it a practice. Because you said, those who practice such things. So I'm going to begin to practice. I want to get better at this. I would love for the day to come where my flesh has been weakened to the point that what you want me to do leaps to the forefront and I don't even have to think about it, but I'm not there yet. I'm still down here in the Pee Wee League and I'm just going to have to practice. Try to get better at this. And then he showed up and said, that's worship. So this week, be sure to worship the Father by presenting him at every opportunity with obedience and the way that you represent him, the light that you're carrying to the world. Put some salt on somebody and make them thirsty to come see what's going on. Amen. That's what God has called us to do. Father, we thank